Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the TBH Sports Podcast. I am your host, Tyler Henry, and after an unforgettable finale to the Formula One 2021 season, Max Verstappen is a world champion for the first time in F1 history. Tempers are still running hot over this, and even with the race over and concluded, this thing is going to be talked about for weeks on end, including right here on this show, and you know what that means. It's time to welcome Ethan Jordan back to the show. Ethan, thank you so much for coming on, and oh my goodness, do we have some stuff to talk about from the finale. The penultimate race at Abu Dhabi that took place just a couple days ago, but we had to get the show up and out. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely wild. And let's not lose sight of the fact that this was the end to one of the best seasons in F1 history, at least from the top, with Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton battling it out. I can't remember a better driver battle than this, where they go into the final race tied. You have the greatest driver of all time against this upstart who's been trying to get him for years, and there's, you know, not any love lost between the two. The two bosses hate each other. It was great, and we got this race, and the only thing that going into the weekend we said was, let's not let there be a crash, and God, I hope the stewards aren't involved in that. We got one of our wishes, the other one not so much.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But first, I just wanted to recap this season series between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, because I think a lot of it has almost been forgotten at this point. It gets lost up in that final lap. But let's not forget, Lewis won three of the first four races to kick off the year. Red Bull came back and won five in a row. Max Verstappen won four of those. Then there was a weird stretch where you had Esteban Ocon win a race. Daniel Ricciardo won a race. It was kind of split between Lewis and Hamilton. Mercedes won two in a row. Verstappen won two in a row. Hamilton won all three of the final three races leading up to the finale. Each driver had an incredible recovery drive. Each driver had one wild DNF at some point during the year, at least. And then again, we got to Abu Dhabi, and Max Verstappen ends up being the champion on the final lap. Before we get to that final lap, let's go ahead. I don't want any of this to be lost, because we don't usually do the full race recap, but just really quickly, Mercedes pulled away after an early collision between the two. The stewards said, no investigation necessary. Checo did an excellent job of holding up Lewis Hamilton. Lewis pulled away, and then we had this stretch where Lewis in the Mercedes kicked Max Verstappen's ass for 23 laps. I'm not going to mince words. That's what it was. They tried to swap the tires out. They did what they could. But before we get into the finale of this race, Ethan, really quickly, any thoughts that you wanted to add on any of the early action in this race or on anything prior to this from the championship battle?
Oh, what a performance by Checo, really. I mean, that's teamwork at its best, holding up Lewis so that Max could get in behind him and really allowed Max to even be relevant at all in this race. I mean, the Mercedes was the better car in this race. There's no doubt about that. That was pretty clear. And it took some doing in order for there to be even a contest at the end. So, and what we're going to talk about here in a moment does not take anything away from what Max Verstappen did this year. Both of these guys, at the end of the day, were deserving champions. Both had phenomenal seasons. I mean, Max set the record for most podiums in a season, which is nuts that he just set that record after all the history that you look at, Schumacher, Hamilton, I mean, Senna, all these guys, and none of them did that. Vettel, when he was dominant, none of those guys got 18 podiums. Max Verstappen did. Oh, but he was still tied going into the final race with Lewis Hamilton, despite having set the record. That's how good these two seasons were. So both were deserving. And then the final race happened, and then the final lap happened. And I don't want to say that Lewis was robbed of the championship, but he was certainly robbed of a race victory, I'll put it at that.
Well, and let's go ahead and break down what happened. So for the first time all season long, I kid you not, we had the longest season on the calendar of any F1 season before. It had never happened before. It may never happen again. But Ethan, Nicholas Latifi became relevant. Nicholas Latifi kicks all of this off. Again, keep in mind, like, Red Bull is dead in the water. Max Verstappen is trailing Lewis Hamilton by 20-plus seconds. They swap him onto a fresh set of tires. It's not going to work. And there was an interview live during the broadcast with Christian Horner, and he said it's going to take a miracle for Max Verstappen to pull this out, but he's going to race his heart out for these final 10 laps, and we'll see what happened. Well, what happened was Nicholas Latifi wipes out, and Red Bull very quickly, they pitted, and they put Max on the soft tires, hoping that as he bunched up behind the safety car, he might have a chance to go at Lewis Hamilton somewhere near the final lap. They weren't sure how quickly they'd be able to clear the debris of the car out of the way. They did get it out of the way in time. And you get into this weird situation where the ruling from the stewards at first and from Michael Massey, the race director, is that they're not going to let the three cars that are in between Max and Lewis pass under the safety car to unlap themselves, which would then set up a final race if there was a racing lap between Verstappen and Hamilton. Then very last second, I kid you not, if you're watching the race unfold, it's right around the start-finish line that the notification comes in. They're going to let them race, and they're going to let those three unlap themselves. But the problem is, Lewis Hamilton is on used tires. He's on old worn tires. And yes, they had the opportunity to pit him. They chose not to do that to keep track position. And what that results in is a thrilling finale, one lap for everything. But it's important to remember, Max had fresh, soft tires, Lewis had old, hard tires, and he did everything that he could, but Max put a great move on, got by him. In terms of excitement, in terms of emotion, in terms of a thrilling way to finish off the year, it was everything that I think a lot of people would have hoped for. But the circumstances surrounding it have caused a ton of controversy. And Ethan, I'm kind of looking forward to unpacking this with you because you and I mean, we've had a brief conversation about it. But honestly, I don't really know your full thoughts on this. And I don't know that you know mine either. I'm interested to see what your feeling is about this because, again, the final race, it was fun. It was exciting. But in terms of what could possibly happen there, even without DRS, it was very unlikely that Lewis was getting to the finish line first. And the question is that on the stewards or is that on Mercedes? And we can unpack the whole thing now. I'll kick it over. I know I talked a lot there, but I just want to get your thoughts. I mean, let's start there. I mean, your opinion on this and everything that comes with it.
This was a hot mess. That's my first opinion. I mean, make one ruling, change it. That's just messy. Get your crap together. I think, personally, I feel like the stewards are like, oh, really? We got to make this decision? Like, come on. This is like an impossible spot for us to be in. So I'll give them that. That's a tough spot to be in. Because under the rule, the race should have finished behind the safety car. You can do that. And by the rule, that with how it works, the track got clear, race should finish behind the safety car. That's the letter of the rule, that's what should have happened. And your season comes to an end. Lewis Hamilton is the champion behind the safety car. So be it. Also, the rule. Okay, let's talk about Michael Massey, because Michael Massey just decided, or he was told by somebody, that he could just interpret the rule book however he wanted to. It's starting with the unlapping, because, yes, the driver should have been allowed to unlap themselves. Well, we're not going to do that. Oh, now we are going to do it, but only the ones in between Max and Lewis. Not anybody else. Which is a unbelievably loose interpretation of the rules. Like, the rule is, you know, you can allow drivers to unlap themselves, but there's nowhere in the rules that says, well, you can pick and choose based on what two drivers are relevant, which drivers to unlap. That's not how the rule works, but Michael Massey interpreted it as such, and playing God at race control, was able to do whatever he wanted. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that Michael Massey didn't say, let's see. We want to make this exciting. Let's add 10 more laps to the race. I think we can do that, right, guys? Can we do that? Why not? I can do whatever I want as long as I can find some sliver of the rule book that makes it seem somewhat possible that I can do that. I understand wanting to end the race in an exciting fashion, have a racing lap at the end. But you can't go against your own rule book just because it suits your purpose and makes for good TV. Like, that's all this was. I really feel like it was, oh, well, we're in a bad spot because this isn't going to be exciting, so let's change the rules so that it can be. And a lot of this hate is going towards Red Bull and Max Verstappen, and there's no reason for that. They just did their thing, and Max was tremendous this year. It's not like it was a total sham where, you know, Esteban Ocon is your world champion. No, take it easy. But if this had been a race – 5 weeks ago. There's no way in hell this race ends the way it did tonight, this weekend. No way. And that's where I draw the line. Like, why is this race different than every other race? There's no way. That race ends under the safety car, Lewis Hamilton wins. I promise you, 100%, I bet my life on it, that that's how that race would end if it happened 5 weeks ago. But because it was the end of the season, we had to do something interesting. And unfortunately, Lewis Hamilton caught the short end of it. I've talked a lot here, but I'll make one more point. I think if it had been the other way around, where Max Verstappen was in front and Lewis was behind him, then I think they would have done the same thing. I don't think this was, oh, screw Mercedes or screw Lewis Hamilton. I think this was, let's make this exciting, and Lewis Hamilton caught the bad end of it. I also will say there would have been even more of an uproar if it had happened the reverse way. But at the end of the day, this isn't Red Bull's fault. This isn't Mercedes' fault. This is the stewards' fault for being just dumb and making a stupid decision. I would like to see, you know, years down the line, them talk to Michael Massey about this when it's not so fresh and try and get through his thought process. But, man, at the end of the day, I don't even know if this is Michael Massey's fault, because the FIA rulebook sucks and it's way too complicated and it needs to be fixed. And the FIA and race control, frankly, needs to have more accountability and more transparency. We've been saying that at some level for years, but now it's right in the forefront because of this. Hopefully if this makes that happen, then great. Because right now you see races throughout the year and they don't tend to matter, but FIA or the race control just makes a call and you're like, what? And inevitably someone's losing their mind. Either it's Toto or it's Christian or some other boss is losing their mind. Like, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And the FIA is like, well, there you go. But, dude, at the end of the day, I think Lewis got screwed. I don't think it was personal to Lewis. Like, some Mercedes fans have insinuated, oh, well, they just wanted Max to win. No, take it easy on that. But you can't do that. You can't just interpret the rules. It's like playing a football game and saying a team's down by 9. It's like, well, you know what? You can have a 3-point conversion on a touchdown so that we can make this interesting. That's what this was. And it's like, hey, that's interesting, but it's not fair. And yeah, I don't know. Hopefully this leads to some change with the FIA, because that was a mess. And it's unfortunate that that's the way this terrific season had to end.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of things that I want to kind of respond to really quickly. First of all, we've said this on the show before, but in case this is your first time listening to us talk Formula One, I do think it's important to note we are not Mercedes fans, we are not Red Bull fans, we are not Lewis Hamilton fans, and we are not Max Verstappen fans. Like, we are fans of good Formula One racing. Like, I said going into this race, like, I really don't care who wins it, I just want a good race, and I think we were both hoping for that. Two, bold of you to assume Michael Massey will be available for comment. I think if Toto Wolff has as much money for snipers as I think he does, Michael Massey might go into hiding after this year. And for good measure, I think Nicholas Latifi might go into hiding as well. Oh boy. Especially because, again, Williams is supposed to be a drawing team for Mercedes and cost them a world championship. I completely agree with you. I think that if you're talking about, first of all, I do think it's important to note, if Max Verstappen had been leading this race by that same margin and Lewis was behind, they would have done the same nonsense that they pulled. Like, let's not make this a thing of, oh, well, they tried to screw Mercedes, or, oh, you know, Red Bull's got the FIA in their pocket. They don't. They did what they wanted to do as an entertainment industry to make it as exciting as they thought they could. But Michael Massey wants to be a film director, right? Because the thing that my first thought when I saw this happening, after I had a chance to kind of settle down a little bit, if this was a Hollywood movie, right, and this same situation happens, Latifi wipes out, I think in a Hollywood movie, Michael Massey would have been like, all right, we're going to finish the race under the safety car. We're going to let Max and Lewis put a new set of soft tires on, and they're going to go racing for 5 laps with DRS for the championship. This didn't feel any different than that. Like, Michael Massey is out here trying to create a movie moment, but that's not what's in the FIA regulations. And so I completely agree with you, right? Like, it sucks that it ended up coming out the way that it did. There was also a chance there at the end. I thought Lewis was going to have a chance to go around the outside, but his tires just did not have enough left in there. And yes, you can point out that, you know, Red Bull did the right thing. They threw the fresh tires on. They made a gamble, and that gamble paid off, and that put them in a position to win the race. But man, like, I know it would have sucked. And granted, if it had happened, I would probably be talking to you right now and I'd be complaining about it. But I think the right thing to do is probably just to let it finish under the safety car. Or if you want that one lap of racing, you got to leave those markers in between, because like you pointed out, they let them unlap themselves so that the two in the front could go racing, but they didn't let any of the other back markers come up and do the same thing. It was just a bizarre, bizarre end to the race, and the call was phenomenal. The excitement was there, but man, at the end of the day, it's cool. It's great. I'm not going to lie. I teared up a little bit. There was a lot of emotion there at the end. I was just that excited for everybody involved, but it just feels kind of dirty that it had to end with the FIA doing their thing instead of the drivers doing that on the track. Because the one thing that I think is getting lost in all of this, and this is the last point I'll make before I kick it back here, if Nicholas Latifi does not wipe out, then Lewis Hamilton wins the last four races of the year, and he wins the world championship in Abu Dhabi by a good 15 to 20 seconds. Like, it would not have been close. Lewis Hamilton would have dominated. Mercedes would have dominated down the stretch, and that would have been all she wrote. But like you said, and like I said, because Michael Massey wants this to be, I mean, Netflix isn't even going to have to edit anything. They can just play the final race as is, and that could be an episode. So, yeah, a little ridiculous to me that it ended this way. Definitely disappointing. But, again, you know, Red Bull, they were worthy. Max Verstappen was certainly worthy the way he battled this year. It just sucks that it had to end like this.
Yeah, at the end of the day, F1 fans and everyone deserves better than this. I mean, how the hell do you bungle, like two drivers tied going into the last race? How do you mess that up? And they found a way. My concern here is not so much that it happened. Like, okay, it happened. Michael Massey is being an idiot. My concern is there's just going to be no accountability for this at all. And we're just going to move on and say, oh, well, Max Verstappen is the world champion. He won it fair and square, and that would be wrong.
But you're not advocating for this to be overturned, right? Because I don't think it should be overturned. It happened, right? Like it's history. Well, the people that think the courts should settle this are out of their minds.
No, it shouldn't be. It should not be overturned, nor will it be. I mean, are you kidding me? even if the head of the FIA and God himself believes that Michael Massey is wrong, there's no way they're overturning it, because that ensuing outcry would be even worse, and I would be amongst them.
But Ethan, isn't it telling that the only singular thing that could make the situation worse would be for them to literally overturn the result of a race that they already finished and claimed a world champion in? Like, that's just telling of how badly they messed this up in the first place. That's the only thing that could make it worse.
No, here's what needs to happen. Max Verstappen is the world champion. I think we're all in agreement on that. Great, fine, good. Good for Max. But something has to change. And I'm not saying Michael Massey necessarily himself needs to be, you know, strung up by his pinky fingers and, you know, tarred and feathered. Huh. No. But, I mean, he should be reprimanded by somebody at the top of the FIA, and the FIA needs to fix their crap, because it's not just this race. This is a prime example of it, but it's just kind of a mess when the FIA gets involved. Like, you know, no one wants the stewards to get involved. None of the bosses do. None of the fans do. You see the little red box pop up, and you're like, oh God, what now? Oh, 10-second penalty for this. Did he? And sometimes, you know, you have to have that, because otherwise dudes are going to be flying off the track doing a bunch of illegal junk. But half the time that pops up, you're like, what now? What? No, that didn't happen. I didn't see that. It's like, okay, I don't know what the solution is, because I'm not involved enough or not educated enough on how all of that works. I don't know the FIA rulebook by heart. No one does, because it's so goddamn long and incomprehensible. But so I'm not the one to make the decision and say, oh, well, you see a problem, you better have a solution. Well, I'm not the one to make the solution. I am a minor league baseball broadcaster lives in Colorado. That's not my job. But somebody needs to make the decision, and hopefully, but I don't know who holds them to making that decision. Fans are upset, but fans have been upset before, and they don't care, because they're going to continue to make money. This is going to be great for Netflix, which there's a conspiracy theory that it's like, oh, well, if Netflix wasn't involved, they wouldn't have done this. I don't know about that, but it certainly didn't hurt. I don't know. I would just like to see something happen. Not the race to be overturned, but just like, yeah, we might have bungled this a little bit. An admission of some kind of guilt. We didn't handle this the way we should have. The result still stands, but we're going to do better next time. I don't think we're going to get it, so I can rant and rave all I want. It's not going to happen. But I don't know. It just was really, really disappointing because like you said, it perfectly. It feels dirty. It feels wrong. It's not right for Max. It's not right for Lewis. It's not right for the fans because it just feels like, well, where's the integrity? Like, they can just do whatever they want and the race doesn't feel real anymore. It's like anything can be messed with and it just doesn't feel right. They need to do something to make it right going into next year. I don't know what that is, like I said, but they need to do something because boy, did the FIA, not the drivers, not F1, boy, did the FIA bungle this one. I don't know, man. It really is disheartening. It makes me kind of upset, and it takes away from the sport for me in some ways that's how this great season ends.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I think, too, like, right, if Max only wins one world title, which I think he'll win more, but if he only wins the one, like, people are always going to look back at that, and they're going to say, you know, is it almost like, does it almost come with an asterisk? So, like you said, I think Max would have preferred to win it outright. Obviously, for Lewis, trying to get an eighth straight. I think that the FIA would probably be much more likely to admit that it made a mistake were the team bosses involved not Toto Wolff and Christian Horner, because the two of them, and I'm not giving either one of them any slack here, the two of them have cried a lake of tears that if purified could fix the entire world's water shortage problem. We could solve the California drought with the tears of Christian Horner and Toto Wolff this season. It's pathetic. Grow up and be actual human beings, guys. This is sad. Well, I'm sad watching and listening to them every
job.
Week.
It's their job.
I know, and they're so good at it, and it works. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Like, the number of times Christian will complain about something, and then Red Bull gets an edge out of it. It's like, oh my God. I think the problem is that Michael Massey is kind of a pushover, but anyway, all that
to
say.
Did you hear Michael Massey's, so first of all, Christian Horner whined. And that's the reason that they finally let them unlap. But then Toto whined about it, and Toto was complaining. He was losing his mind.
Well, really, really quickly,
race control.
I want to go back to one thing really quickly that we did not talk about at any point. Do you remember midway through the race when there was a I can't remember what went wrong. There was something wrong. Toto Wolff got on the horn with Michael Massey and instructed him not to bring out a safety car. That's not something you ask for if you don't think there's a chance you might get it, right? Like, the Christian Horner, I've got one analogy, and then I'll turn the microphone back over. Christian Horner and Toto Wolff are the spoiled kids, and Michael Massey is the parent who's given them everything that they've ever wanted, and now, like, he's trying to reel that back a little bit, but, like, all they're doing is complaining about it because they're used to getting their way.
No, that's the reason they unlapped was because Christian called up and complained. But then Toto was losing his mind, and he's like, "I need an explanation for why you just let this happen." And well, this is motor racing, isn't it, Toto? Or something very close to that effect is what Michael Massey said down to Toto, which is not an explanation at all. But it's just like,
anyway.
Like, if that's your explanation, you don't know what you're doing, or you're bullshitting, and that's your way of doing that. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel bad for Lewis Hamilton. I feel bad at some level for Toto Wolff. But no one else does. No one cares. No one feels bad for Mercedes. I mean,
no.
It's not like this was, you know, Lando Norris going to win his first championship and he was robbed. Like, then people would feel bad. No one feels bad for Lewis Hamilton at the end of the day. And this is not me saying being upset with Lewis. I would be upset if this happened to any driver, any time. This is a mess. Fix this, FIA. But we still got a great season of racing. I will say that, and hopefully next year is close to as good. I'm very curious to see what advancements Red Bull makes in terms of going against Mercedes. Red Bull looked like the better team for half the year. Their car did, and then Mercedes figured something out, and they've been cooking Red Bull at the end of the year. So I don't think this is over necessarily. I don't think this Max-Lewis battle is over. I'm really hoping that this is just one of the chapters in this rivalry. It's like, oh yeah, you guys remember in 2021 when Max first got the better of Lewis on that controversial call? Well, they went at it for a few more years after that, and this is just the beginning. I sincerely hope that that's the case for two reasons. One, because I like watching fun racing, but two, so like Lewis can at some level try and avenge this, and we can see it happen again, hopefully without the stewards intervention.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So let's go ahead and recap this season, because again, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. For the first time since I've been watching F1 closely, we got a close title battle all the way down to the final lap. Six race winners this season: Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Checo Perez, Esteban Ocon, and Daniel Ricciardo. What a strange group of drivers to come through, the last two at least, winning a single race this year. But your final F1 standings look like this. Max Verstappen is your world champion, 396 points. Lewis Hamilton is your second place runner-up, 388 points for him this year. Valtteri Bottas, 226 points. He'll be making the move to Alfa Romeo a year from now. Checo Perez with 190 in fourth. And really quickly, I want to pause and give you a moment to talk about Checo. Man, what a disappointing year for Sergio Perez. Obviously great to see him in the Red Bull. At times we saw flashes of that greatness that we were hoping to get, but at the end of the day, it just kind of felt like an empty year for Checo, and I'm hoping to see some better things out of him next year.
Yeah, the idea was that he could challenge Valtteri Bottas, and he really didn't. It's kind of a miracle that he finished in fourth the way he was driving that thing. I mean, boy, he just didn't look sharp at a lot of the time. And too many DNFs. It just was, yeah, it was not the year you wanted from Sergio Perez, as my fantasy team can attest.
Huh.
But I think he did do one thing very well. I think he went into that role of secondary driver very well. I mean, it exemplified by the way he held off Lewis in the race on Sunday. But throughout the year, he clearly was comfortable in the position of being a secondary driver, and that's good for Red Bull moving forward. I think he'll get better in that car. At least I expect him to. He's too good of a driver not to. But yeah, this year it wasn't the, you know, Mercedes challenger that we expected, and as such, Mercedes kind of whooped Red Bull's butt in the Constructors' Championship, and I guess they can take that for what it's worth. But yeah, it's kind of disappointing for Checo. We'll see next year. I'm not ready to write him off. This isn't an Alex Albon or Pierre Gasly situation, but he could be better.
Yep, no, for sure. Carlos Sainz passes Lando Norris on the final day. He finishes fifth with 165. I think Lando Norris may be cursed. It started with him staying out in the rain and slipping all the way back off of the podium and down to 10th, and it kind of continued from there. A lot of punctures, a lot of bad pit stops, a lot of things that were not in his control, and as McLaren started to get kind of whooped down the stretch by Ferrari, he started to slide back as well. He drops down to sixth place with 160 points. Charles Leclerc finishes 1 point off of his pace in P7 with 159. Then Daniel Ricciardo with 115 in eighth. Pierre Gasly with 110 in ninth. And Fernando freaking Alonso, P10 with 81 points. A great season for Alpine. Ocon in 11th with 74. Vettel in 12th and Stroll in 13th with 43 and 34. Tough year for the inaugural season. No longer just cheating off of Mercedes' homework. Aston Martin going to have to make a better car on their own. A lot of early and late points for Yuki Tsunoda in P14, but unfortunately not a lot in the middle of the season. And then rounding it out, George Russell with 16 in 15th place. Russell making the move to Mercedes next year. That is going to be a lot of fun. Very sadly, we will have to say goodbye to Kimi Raikkonen, who finishes P16 with 10 points. The Kimi, we will leave you alone now. Livery, maybe the best thing I've ever seen. Nicholas Gotifi, who actually decided the world championship, finishes P17 with 7 points. How Nicholas Latifi scored 7 points, I'll never know. Antonio Giovinazzi with 3 points in P18, making his departure for F1. F1 YouTube's page says, we'll see him again. We won't. Mick Schumacher and Nikita Mazepin rounded out 0 points for the Haas pairing. Boy, what a dismal year for Haas again. Wild stuff. Really quickly, that stretch of Russell and Kimi, any final thoughts on that, Ethan?
Well, let me first talk about Ferrari and McLaren. What a phenomenal end of the season for Carlos Sainz. I mean, just so many races in a row, finishing in the points, and then he caps it off with a P3 finish on the podium. Are you kidding me? What an end for him. He's still the number two driver there. I still think Leclerc, who got unlucky a lot at the beginning of the year, is still their number one driver. I think McLaren has to figure something out, because Ferrari is whooping their butt right now. It's not even close. Like, in the points, you say, well, it was kind of cool. No. Ferrari smoked them at the end of the year, partially because of what happened to Lando Norris. But Norris didn't look as quick. That McLaren didn't look as quick at the end of the year at all. And then Daniel Ricciardo, I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of that. Maybe we give him another year and say, hey, try and figure this out. But yikes, exemplified by the last race where he just it doesn't look quick. I don't think Ferrari's quite on the precipice of contending with Red Bull or Mercedes yet. I don't think it happens next year. Maybe the year after that. But right now, it's McLaren, it's Ferrari. I hope McLaren gets their car right and they can contend with Ferrari next year, because that would be fun to have behind Red Bull and Mercedes. We thought we'd get that this year, but it didn't happen.
Yep. No. Go ahead.
No, and then the rest of those top 10. Another phenomenal year from Pierre Gasly that just didn't get talked about as much as it did when he was good last year. Really excellent for him. That AlphaTauri, I think it's quick. I think Yuki Tsunoda crashed it a few too many times. I think that car it clearly has proven to be a legitimate challenger to at least Alpine. I mean, there's a world where if they get their crap together and do things just right, they could have somewhat of a go at Ferrari and McLaren. That's my hot take. If they could, you know, just get a little bit right, Tsunoda gets a little bit better, car gets a little bit better, they're able to figure something out. It's not a high chance possibility, but I think it's possible. One last time, Fernando Alonso, I'm sorry, I doubted you. Mea culpa, phenomenal year for Fernando. I still have to take that Alpine should have gone with someone younger, but, you know, this is great. He looked really good. I can't be mad. That Alpine looks decent. We'll see. I mean, they're kind of in a weird world because, like, okay, the Haas, the Alfa Romeo, those have got the Ferrari engine, but Alpine kind of is on their own with that. So we'll see what they can do next year. It'd be fun if they could challenge McLaren and Ferrari. As far as the bottom goes, Alfa Romeo, yeah, just disgusting. No one cares about them. Maybe someone will with Valtteri Bottas, but maybe not. I'd like to see them have a decent car to put Valtteri in, but I'm not hopeful. Just disgusting, really. Maybe it's the drivers. Kimi's old. I personally think Giovinazzi's terrible. I'm glad he's gone. So maybe it's the drivers. We shall see. And then Williams looked a lot better. I think they're kind of one of those teams to watch next year, not to actually do anything, but just to see the steps they continue to make now that Claire Williams is gone and they can actually be confident again. I'm very curious to see the steps they make. And Alex Albon should be exciting. Nicholas Latifi still sucks, but, you know, that is what it is. And Haas, Tyler, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Which happens first, or which one happens? Which happens first? Does Haas score a point, or is Haas no longer an F1 team? Which one happens first? And I'm legitimately asking, this is not a joke.
I think, in all actuality, there is a better chance of Gene Haas pulling the plug than there is either of those drivers successfully navigating. Like, we would need another, like, remember, there was a race at the beginning of the year where almost everyone crashed last year, and Haas did not score a point. Like, there were only two people that weren't going to get a point. They were both Haas drivers. I don't know, man. It's very sad. But you bring up a good point, and that brings us to the constructor standings really quickly. Mercedes gets the win. No surprise there as far as points go. 614 for Mercedes, 586 for Red Bull. You jump down. Ferrari beats McLaren, 324 to 275. Alpine edges out AlphaTauri, 155 to 144. Aston Martin sits alone in the seventh place island with 77 points. Good job, boys. You did absolutely nothing this year except for get Sebastian Vettel on the podium. Let's not forget about that. Williams with 23, Alfa Romeo with 13, and Haas without a single point. And Ethan, that brings us to a segment that I've been waiting all season long for, and we can finally roll it out. Let's look back one last time to our preseason predictions for this year see what we got right and what we got very, very, very wrong. First of all, kudos to us. Constructors-wise, we both had Mercedes 1, Red Bull 2. Unfortunately, I had McLaren 3, but that's not as bad as you. You had Aston Martin at 3. I had Aston Martin at 4. We each gave a team credit for getting into the top 5 that made it. I had Ferrari at 5. You had McLaren at 4. And Renault, at five. So you got that right with Alpine slipping into the top five this year. I did not think that would happen. But where it really gets interesting is on the driver's side of things. We both thought that it would be another championship for Lewis Hamilton. Max Verstappen ends up taking it by the slimmest of margins. We both thought that it would be Bottas in third. We both thought Daniel Ricciardo was going to finish the season P4 in the McLaren. But that was also before we knew that Checo was replacing Alex Albon, who we both had picked to finish down in sixth. Really, the thing that hurt us, it was Aston Martin being Aston Martin. We both had Lance Stroll and Sebastian Vettel in the top 10. They did not finish there. You picked Lando Norris to finish a lot higher than I did. You had him finishing P8. I had him finishing P10. You had Charles Leclerc finishing P7. I had him at P5. A little bit lower than that on my part. And then I had Sainz at P8. You had him at P10. What a year it was, as you said, for Carlos Sainz. We'll do this again next year. But before we do, some closing thoughts here on the season, Ethan. And then the one thing that I really do want to ask you about, and we can have a little banter here about whatever you want to talk about, but I really think that when you look at what's going to happen next year, the thing that I am most excited for, it might not even be a rematch between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. I am ready to see George Russell in a Mercedes for a full season. I am very excited for that.
So I addressed my Aston Martin take on a previous podcast. So go scroll through Twitter or Spotify feed to find that. I'm not going to do it again. Yikes. I thought there would still be some residual knowledge or ability from, but no, apparently you don't learn anything when you just copy. My seventh grade English teacher was right. yikes. I will say, the Daniel Ricciardo P4, I don't remember us saying that, but it kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, we both think this guy's pretty good, and this McLaren, it looks all right. Oh, boy. I don't even blame us for that one. That one's on Daniel. Figure it out, dude. That's a disaster. I'm not even going to, you know. And both of us... At least, I think you had Charles Leclerc more in fifth because of Charles Leclerc, not because of Ferrari. I think Ferrari surprised a lot of people with how quick their rebuild happened. We said, oh, they're going to be a lot better, but I don't think they're going to be on this level. Well, they were. And so, yeah, big shout out to Ferrari. Because F1 is better when Ferrari is good. It's like baseball. Baseball, you don't cheer for the Yankees, but it's better when the Yankees are good, right? It's more fun when the Yankees are in the playoffs and you're going to see them either lose or be mad at them when they win. It's the same thing with Ferrari. It's better to have them in there. And no one hates Ferrari really these days because they've been kind of bad for a while. But it's good to have Yankees? Them good again. No, and I don't really know why, because the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Right.
But I think because Mercedes has been so good, and Red Bull before that, no one really cares about Ferrari as much as, like, say, the Yankees. But... I don't think we did that bad with our predictions. We are Michael Massey away from being correct about the Drivers' Championship, too. So, I don't know. I'm going to be fascinated by our picks for next year when we get to that. Obviously, that's a little ways away, but I'm kind of curious. As far as the George Russell thing goes, it's exciting. It's cool. He's going to be good. I think some people are, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but people are like, wow, Lewis is done. This is George's team. It's like,
no, yeah, no, that's absurd.
And it's like, it's a three-way battle now. It's like, let's give him a second, because we thought it was going to be a four-way sort of battle with Checo at Red Bull, and that didn't really work out. Like, let's give him a second. Let's let him get settled in. I think George Russell next year is not nearly as interesting as George Russell at Mercedes in the future. Once Lewis Hamilton actually gets old and George thinks he's the number one driver, and obviously Lewis will never think he's not the number one driver. I think we have more interesting things to come from that, but I honestly don't 100% know what to expect from George Russell and Mercedes. I don't want to say he's going to challenge Hamilton and Verstappen, but boy, he's looked pretty good the times he's driven that Mercedes. I really don't know. It's exciting. You know me. I'm a Valtteri Bottas defender. I think he gets a little too much hate, but it was time for him to go. If for no other reason, the Mercedes hates him, clearly, and he continues to get unlucky and get screwed over by his team. So go let him be a number one driver somewhere. I think he'll be good in that Alfa Romeo. I hope he somehow manages a podium in it. I think that would be really cool.
That'd be wild.
It would be a miracle, but it would be cool. I don't want to disparage Valtteri Bottas by saying I'm excited for George Russell. Like, I feel like people are like, oh, finally get Bottas, that sorry motherfucker, out of here. Let's put George Russell in. It's like, okay. Like, give Valtteri his due, but it is exciting. I agree with you. I will disagree with you. I think the fight between Lewis and Max was more exciting, if for no other reason than the way this season ended. I think it will be. But here's what I hope. You know what, I'll finish with this on that point. I hope Checo's good enough to contend with George Russell, because that we kind of were deprived of that this year. It was Lewis versus Max. Let's see if we can get a full Mercedes versus Red Bull thing going, because really the most interesting rivalry isn't Max versus Lewis. You know this. It's Toto versus Christian, and it's, so therefore Mercedes versus Red Bull. That's exciting. That stuff's funny. Those two actually hate each other. I don't think Lewis and Max, I mean, I don't think they're best buddies and you go out drinking, but I don't think they really truly dislike each other. Like, if Max was driving a Alfa Romeo and Lewis was driving a Williams, I don't think they'd have any problem with each other, but you know, they're competitors. But yeah. Toto Wolff and Christian Horner do not like each other.
No, they absolutely despise each other. And I'm looking forward to seeing Netflix play that up even more this year. I just want to clarify with what I said about George Russell, I did not mean that in the he's going to compete for a world title situation, because there's no way he is. But I do think, you look at what happened this year, Sergio Perez won one race, Valtteri Bottas won one race, that's it. There are going to be multiple, plural, there are going to be multiple George Russell wins next year. And I think there's a world where he loses Checo his job. Like, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but like, there is a world where I think George Russell is a better driver than Valtteri Bottas. I'll just say it. And like, he hasn't really had a chance to prove it yet. A very tiny sample size. But I look at what he did in that Williams, and I look at the fact that he is, if you're talking about pure dominance of your teammate over the span of 2 years, granted, most of it is because Nicholas Latifi is incompetent, the GOAT, but he got wrecked every week. Like, that Williams was bad, and George Russell got things out of it that should not have been gotten out of it. So I'm excited to see what he can do, and I'm also interested to see how long he is going to be content to play the team game over there at Mercedes, because obviously, yeah, he's not going to be competing for a world title, but give it a few years, and if he's challenging Lewis on a regular basis, if there are races where he is the lead car, it can get a little more intriguing. So I'm interested to see what's going on with that. We will, of course, once we get closer to preseason testing, probably after preseason testing, we'll have a chance to break it all down, do our full season preview, and we'll have our rankings and everything then. But really quickly, I mean, any final notes on the thrilling season that was, that we've had a chance to kind of talk at length about here, and anything else that you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I think everything we've talked about looking forward to next season, and even some of the stuff we've talked about with this season, all would be the perfect jumping off point for a at least somewhat long-winded Mercedes, Red Bull, Verstappen, Hamilton, if you want to call it that, but at least Mercedes, Red Bull rivalry. So I'm hoping this is just the beginning. Again, that is my sincere hope, is this is really just the beginning, and maybe we get some more teams involved as time goes along. But you know, you couldn't ask for a better first chapter than this, though, if that is indeed the case. Close to the end, and then some great controversy to, have as a cliffhanger to the end of it. So I really, despite my complaints about the FIA earlier, I couldn't be more excited for next season. I think there's going to be a lot more excitement, and I'm really looking forward to it. But what a phenomenal season. Been really enjoyable, and I had a good time talking about it with you here on this show, Tyler.
Yep, absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you on, Ethan. Looking forward to talking more NFL action with you coming up later, sometime either this week or next week. We've got a lot to talk about as the playoffs approach, but we'll have a chance to get to that later. For now, wrapping up the Track Talk, thank you so much for coming on. For Tyler Henry, for Ethan Jordan, want to say thank you so much for tuning in all season long. The F1 year is over, but we'll have plenty more coming at you next season, and again, more great content coming up in the coming weeks here on the TBH Sports Podcast.